So that was the song Snow Fairy from the anime Fairy Tail by the artist Funkist. No, not Sunkist, that's Funkist. We have our normal quadrangle of hosts today. We have Take to my right.
Quadrangle? You know that's not a shape, right?
Can you just say hi, Take?
Leave me alone. I look damn good in a tutu.
Alright, so that's the Take. Give me close to my left.
No, yo. I'm damn green. Get it right.
And
and
Chiaki is 7,500 miles to my west.
To my
this
ass.
This is a giant...
You okay. Just say you're a giant...
So, welcome to episode 21 of the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. You can find us on iTunes primarily, but our homepage is aaapodcast.com, and we're also on Facebook. We're almost at 1,000 fans.
Woo-hoo.
And we're also on mevio.com. That's mevio.com. And we have one new forum member this week, only one, and his name is Moki.
Hello, Moki.
Yo.
So, moving on to the trivia, there is a new trivia question posted for this week. As the month just ended, we have a winner last week was Yordi. And,
yes.
And coincidentally, coincidentally, Yordi also won the trivia prize for the month. So congratulations, Yordi. You will be mailed the Torturo plushie.
Woo!
Yay!
But
new trivia starting now, so it's a fresh month, so everyone has a new opportunity to win. So come out and
go for the gold.
Show us how smart you are by answering anime trivia.
Because you're not a man unless you can answer anime trivia.
I'm going to buy an acre of corn and a herd of cattle. Why? Because I want to make the world's biggest corn dog. Because I'm a man. And that's what men want.
That's what Marshall she said?
Anyway, so because I'm...
Kimiko.
Oh, great.
All right, Yoite. Quit dying on us.
Anyway, so because I am going to Japan on the 16th of this month, we are not going to have an episode for a while.
Yo, Kimiko. She's coughing up blood, dude. Amongst other things.
Is she really coughing blood?
No. Oh, wait, sorry, that's red sauce.
So because I am going to Japan on the 16th of this month, both Chiaki and I will be in Japan, and because I am in Japan, there will be no editing, and so because there's no editing, there will be no podcast. And so this
isn't it amazing how it works out like that?
And so yeah. This is going to be the last podcast episode for a few weeks. And because of that, we are going to...
Winter break.
Yes, winter break. We are going to talk about the winter 2009-2010 anime season. Because when we come back, we will be talking about it.
Woo!
And then following that, we have several reviews for you, including Code Geese and Mahoromatic Tadaima Okaiari, and that is it. So
Code Geese? What do birds have to do with this?
What?
I said Code Geese? What do birds have to do with any of this?
I think it's pronounced Geese.
I'll pronounce it however
it's
I want.
It's Geese, isn't it?
I think it's no one.
Geese?
I think really.
Geese.
I always say ass, but
how to pronounce
it. I used to hate on that show so bad. But.
Code Geese.
So, because none of us really know how it's pronounced, strap yourselves in. Let's get started.
You're a cheese ball.
I like cheese balls.
Did I hear this amazing article
like
that I just found?
And cheese.
It's not anime related, but it's related to giant cocks.
So, didn't we just have a hentai episode?
Did you know that stroking it can help prevent prostate cancer?
Did you also know that apparently at Harvard that masturbation is an honor code violation?
Are you serious?
I had a flyer. No, they have a flyer posted on the men's bathroom that says, "Masturbation in the bathrooms is a Harvard University Harvard University honor code violation."
Okay, well, that's in the bathroom, not in general.
Yeah,
pipes in the residences are not meant to handle semen. Semen-related costs run into the thousands every year. Please masturbate in your own rooms. They actually, what was it, the University of Michigan, I think? They sent out mass emails.
It's amazing what you can find online when you're Googling masturbation, right, Hitaka?
Or porn.
I like the comments, too, because they're just like, hey, are there any clubs for this? I'd love to get a group going and meet regularly.
Circle Jerk Club?
Do-it-yourself bukkake.
That was really good.
Oh, bukkake. Really.
And for anyone who doesn't know what bukkake is, go Google it. Don't ask your mom.
No, don't ask your mom.
Alright, so why don't we just get started? We're going to cover about a dozen of the animes from the winter 2009 season. And that's 2009-2010. Hitaka has opted to go first.
I have.
And so you're going to go first. Because
you're my hero.
No, I picked Durarara because it looks awesome, and it's from the creators of Bakugan no Sensei.
Alright, so why don't you read for us what Durarara is about.
Okay, so as I was saying, it's from the creators of Bakano or Bakano, however you pronounce it. It's like potato potato, right guys? Okay. The distorted love story is set in Tokyo's rowdy Ikebukuro neighborhood and revolves around an ensemble cast of street thugs, high school students, a female radio host, an underworld doctor, a young information vendor, and a headless Irish fairy.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Motley Crue.
I've seen trailers. It looks amazing. So. Whatever.
Okay. Well, this anime. So it's basically the same format as Bakano.
Yep.
It sounds like a bunch of people that are gonna randomly meet each other.
And save and or destroy the world.
And then some.
And somehow pussies and feet will be involved.
Oh yes.
Because that's always what's involved.
And by pussy we mean cat, right?
Yeah.
And by cat, I mean my.
And by cat, I mean your mother, Trebek.
Why do you sound like Dan Green?
Moving on.
Does anybody else have any comments about Durarara? Yeah. We ought to, since it's probably going to be one of the better ones of the season.
Duh. It sounds amazing.
Going to be super awesome. Super special awesome.
I'm kind of excited for it because at first glance, the art style kind of reminded me almost of The World Ends With You.
Yes.
Just the one picture that we have.
You wanted it because it was from Kana's creator.
No, actually.
Both.
I like the art. The music is probably going to be amazing.
Airs on the 7th of January, which coincidentally is the same day I returned from Japan.
I'm counting down the days.
Huh.
I meant the show, not the not Mitsugi returning from Japan, but
good job, Mitsugi. She has like a little ball of your hair under her bed.
Oh,
there's actually a better summary on News Network.
Yeah.
Ryugamine Mikado is a boy who longs for the exciting life of the big city. At the invitation of his childhood friend Masaomi, he transfers to a school in Ikebukuro. Masaomi has warned him about people he doesn't want to cross in the city. A champion fighter, a.k.a. Hajime Ippo, an informant, and a mysterious gang called Dorazu. Nervous from Masaomi's stories, Mikado witnesses an urban legend for his on his first day in the city, the headless rider astride a black motorcycle.
Astride.
Oh, yeah. And the headless rider astride a black motorcycle. From then on, the existence of supernatural cases and a gang called the Yellow Turbans, which is from Chinese history, Remnants of the Three Kingdoms, will rise onto the surface, and Ikebukuro will be pushed to the breaking point.
I like how that one thing back there kind of looks like a cat bus.
A boot.
Looks like a cat bus.
It is a cat bus.
I like cat buses.
Okay,
come so in Russia. Cat bus does not ride you. You ride cat bus.
That is exactly the way that it goes.
So the bottom line is...
the shitty Russian accents.
They're not shitty.
Yeah, they kind of
They're only mildly shitty.
Mildly shitty, yes. Mildly. I've heard worse.
Minutes, sir. Minutes.
The bottom line is...
Chekhov, Pavel Andreevich.
I'm going to hit you.
Do-da-da-da will probably be good, and it looks like the art of Persona.
Yep.
And, which means it's even better.
Slash Bacano.
Yeah, I don't think it looks like Bacano at
it
all.
It does, the eyes and the hair. The eyes especially.
Maybe that's about all.
Hold on.
Maybe not in that shot, but I've seen the trailer. It looks like Bacano.
Yeah, maybe not in that shot. Anyway.
Yeah, that picture kind of doesn't really...
You can see it in the eyes of that blonde.
So why don't we move on? What's your next anime?
That would be the...
The Cantabile, right?
Yes. Nodame Cantabile.
Finale!
The anime that will never end.
No, it's the finale. Just like Inuyasha is ending, this is ending now. So your ass is also ending.
The finale of the finale is going to come out in a year from now.
Okay.
No, it's called an OVA, silly.
And a movie.
Valid point, Chiaki. Valid point.
This anime really need an introduction.
Not really. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody kind of knows what Nodame is.
All right, for the sake of the people that have not been watching anime recently.
Quick one-sentence summary.
Yeah. It's a music anime.
Yay!
The end.
I love. It's a
as we can tell from
girly musical love.
It's a romance comedy where they play piano and violin.
And conduct.
That's right up my alley.
Not so much.
Yes, it is.
So they were in Paris, and now they're back in Japan. Because they were in Japan, and then they were in Paris.
Now they're
back in Japan, right?
Okay, I guess so. Yeah, I would assume. Yeah.
So did either of you actually watch the second season? So I didn't know.
What's it called? Nodame Cantabile.
Nodame Cantabile.
Yeah, I didn't know it existed.
Did they ever get around to, like, kissing or anything? Or is this one of those animes where they jerk your chain for 70 episodes? It's
probably like Inuyasha. All
right, well.
They have the occasional kiss to prevent somebody from, you know, going to the dark side or dying, and dire consequences ensue, and no kissing ever happens again.
Unfortunately, I'm imagining that this Nodame Cantabile is probably an anime you can't watch unless you've seen the other two seasons of it first.
Yep.
So, if you haven't seen this anime, if you haven't seen the first two seasons of Nodame, and you, for some reason, want to watch the third season, you should probably go catch up.
So, I don't, like, it's not a bad series, though. Like, I think we rip on it a little bit, and I'm not saying it's, like, perfect, but if someone wants to go back and watch it, I don't think they'll regret it.
No, it's good. I think it's supposed to be good. It's just that it's simply you have to watch the first two seasons of it, and it's... probably for girls, mostly, I'd say.
Yep. So my third anime that I chose was Kaicho wa Maid-sama.
Oh my.
Which should be interesting. I picked it because of a picture. So the guy looks like Ichigo from Bleach. And
okay.
Does he really?
Yeah, and she's obviously working in a maid.
Slash Kyo. He looks like the illegitimate love child of Ichigo and Kyo.
It's beautiful.
Alright, well, since
isn't that what we all wanted?
That would be such an awkward pairing.
Well, since this one has no summary,
redheads band together.
Why don't we just make up a plot line for it?
It's a hentai because there's a girl in a maid uniform. Carrying ice cream. So the guy is going to smear the ice cream on the woman and go to town.
And she's clumsy, and she's embarrassed easily. Because she's already blushing and looks like she's about to drop the tray full of ice cream.
This is like a Rorschach test, because we immediately went to the porn when developing a
It's
block.
A feed uniform.
Well, she's pulling on his tie, so he's obviously like... obviously the man in the relationship.
Or maybe she doesn't realize that he likes her. Maybe she's one of those girls, even though he's totally about to get her boobs.
You go to the maid cafe every day, and she's like, "You're my best friend." And he's like, "That makes my penis sad."
And what's the deal with what is the deal with the news? Well, I mean, why are all the newscasters so hot? When I'm watching post-apocalyptic news stories, I shouldn't have to feel tingly in my shorts. All right?
Please kill
me. All right, so why don't we move on from this anime?
I have
the next anime. So it's my turn. My first anime is Okami Kakushi, which is a big god something, a great god.
Great god.
So she looks like him. This looks like
great god Onizuka.
This looks like it could be a magical girl anime, but let's move on. Hiroshi moves into Jagamachi, a serene village with a river that divides old and new, where ancient traditions still remain. Bewildered, he settles in and befriends his classmates, but Nemuru Kishinada's only words are a warning to stay away from the old part of town. There, terror and mystery awaits.
Bum bum bum!
You say that with such excitement in your voice.
Terror and mystery da-da. Awaits.
Why are we doing, like, the start of Darth Vader March?
Anyway, this anime comes out on the 7th of January also, which is when I have a feeling the new season starts. And I have absolutely no idea what it's about beyond that plot summary based on the picture, because it just has some girl kind of twirling around with a weapon and...
She's kind
of
like she's going through a magical transformation sequence.
I'm pretty sure she has a death scythe. She has a scythe in her hand.
That is a scythe.
I'm just going to assume that she's a Shinigami and a cute girl Shinigami. But she looks like a...
I have the whole Gundam in my hand.
Alright.
Oh, no.
So I think this anime looks like it could be good. I mean, it sounds like it's not a moe. I mean, she's basically a moe character, but... At least it sounds like it's dark and not cutesy, which is basically the only thing that's going to keep me sane in this next season. So I claim this one right now, because I will go out of my freaking mind if I have to watch five more animes like Yumeiro no Patissiere, where all they do is eat candy and cake. Dumb jokes.
Scented cake!
God, I'll choke myself.
Not even Christmas.
Wait, too sweet.
Alright, anyway, so the second anime I have is called Quasar of Stigmata.
Stole that one from me.
I stole it because I'm an asshole.
Yeah, you are.
That's not news.
This is an academy anime. So, in St. Mikhailov Academy, Oribe Mafuyu meets a silver-haired boy called Alexander. He is a quasar, a being who can manipulate iron and draws his power from breast milk.
Alan from D-Gray Man.
Okay, wait a second. Please. I'm sorry. I know we've been making penis jokes the whole episode, but actually the plot summary. I'm not making that up.
That is legit, my friend.
The rest of it is, a mystery surrounding an icon transforms the academy into the setting for conflict between the various different quasars. Name of God.
Isn't a quasar a kind of star?
What?
Isn't a quasar a kind of star?
It's not spelled the same way. It's a made-up word. But we should be focusing more on the breast milk.
Why on earth would we want to focus on breast milk?
That makes no sense.
It sounds like a bad, like, hentai setup.
It does. It really does.
That kind of reminds me of that video I watched with the British children who were still breastfeeding when they were, like, 14. And they
broke up.
I wouldn't trade my mother's milk for 100 melons.
Oh my god, that was so creepy.
Hell.
Oh my god.
Alright, seriously, why do you watch the gay stuff?
Okay.
Never mind, don't answer that.
I'm really sorry. Alright. I'm not sorry, but I say I am to cover my ass. So, the next anime I have is called Sora no Oto, which is an anime that is apparently set in a future land that is marred by long-lasting war. A quiet decline has begun. So apparently we are at the end of a war. 15-year-old Kumika realizes her dream to enlist in the army and joins a unit of five in protecting a fortress. Together they create music that reverberates across the skies over empty towns and empty seas. Why is it that these plot summaries, which is all we have to go on for these animes, make absolutely no sense whatsoever?
They sure make me want to watch the show.
I sound like Tristan.
My wits give me super strength. Okay, guys, have fun, Joey, bye.
Anyway, so the picture of this anime, it kind of reminds me of, I don't even know what it is. It looks like there's like a giant owl in the background. You see that?
What, an owl?
Oh,
what?
Yeah, it sort of does, doesn't it?
It's a giant Zawa.
It's a giant hoot owl in the background, and I don't understand why.
Hoot owl?
Hoot owl.
Hoot owl?
Yeah.
I never heard them called hoot owls.
Hoot owl.
So, I'm going to say that anime is kind of a maybe, because it sounds like...
It doesn't look grisly enough for a war anime.
I hate it when they have
happy
these,
war.
I hate when they have these animes that have serious subject matter and then they like fluff around with it.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be something.
It's like
happy.
You've got a Grim Reaper.
Fun.
Right, a Grim Reaper. You could have like a truly scary anime, but who the hell can take an anime with a Grim Reaper seriously when it looks like a 5-year-old girl?
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'm really sorry, but like.
I mean, you can only make children be so creepy, and even then, they're still like. Anime children,
no.
With big eyes and
I mean,
happiness.
I was just talking about Now and Then Here and There a minute ago, referencing it. And Now and Then Here and There is a war anime, and it does not joke around at all. I mean, that anime is, like, very dark. I mean, nearly everybody dies in it. There's rape.
It's death and disease wrapped in darkness and silence.
It has pretty much, nice, it has pretty much everything that would be war. This anime has kids, but it just seems like it's going to be silly. I mean... Bums me out. All right, so you know what, you guys. Because I just noticed this, I decided I want to do a fourth one because I'm spoiled.
Yeah, you are.
You can't stop me. So I know I normally don't even look at vampire anime because it.
You're biased and prejudiced and hate them.
It bores me because it's so overused. But this one kind of confuses me because it's one of the only ones I've seen so far on this list that has more than one cover picture, and they're all different completely. So I don't really know what this anime, how to feel about it. The summary is, after millennia in hiding, vampire princess Mina Teps uses her wealth to pay off Japan's national debt in return for an off-coast special district haven for her kind. On the eve of a landmark press conference, however, terrorists and rival factions plot to assassinate Teps before she can declare the existence of vampires. So it kind of sounds to me like vampires are trying to silence her so that she can't expose their existence. But that's not the reason that this anime confuses me. The first picture is basically her, like, sitting in a throne room, on like, a throne with her elbow on the chair, and, you know, and she's, like, this cute-looking blonde girl with like, ribbons in her hair.
She's plotting.
Yeah, she's, like, I don't know what she's doing. She's just sitting there. The second picture is her, like, literally ripping someone's heart out and, like, blood spraying all over the place. And then the third picture is her lying on a bed in lingerie, pulling her top up like she's gonna pull it off with her finger in her mouth.
Mixed signals, I think. Mixed signals.
So in the life of this girl, she thinks, kills people, and then becomes a whore at night.
Pretty much.
Speaking of whores, I have another my turn to talk about anime.
Oh, boy.
The first anime I want to talk about is Chubra, which it's CHU-bra.
It has like, a bra on it.
Girls wear. And the first picture that you encounter of this anime is a girl in a skirt, ass in the air, looking back at you, and, like, the first shot is a panic shot.
Man, she looks like she's about to take it, because she's looking back like someone's behind her.
She's ready for it.
Shocks
her schoolmates on the first day of middle school by wearing black lace panties. I do want to say, finally, an anime where they're not wearing the standard issue panty. It's about damn time we had panty diversity.
Panty competition has entered the marketplace.
She aims to spread the word on the merits of underwear and help other girls concerned with their development by opening an underwear club.
Oh, God.
Well, that's new.
Firstly, well, it is kind of new. When was the last anime that you've seen about an underwear club?
I think she also aims to spread the HIV.
Oh, God.
I do, like, one, I gotta commend the market for going, we can just have an anime about panties, rather than having an anime about wizards that's really about panties with all the panty shots in it. Two, I don't know, I'm hoping that there's, like, room for some, like, humor in this, because being a girl and having been there, it's always fun to learn new things, and I feel that there's a lot of comedy that they could draw from. That's my Leah. That's my optimistic.
Mom,
comment.
Where do babies come from?
Your underwear. Okay, moving on.
No, you know what? Not moving on, because this anime comes out right at the beginning of the year, right after everyone has made their New Year's resolutions, either to not watch anime with panties in it, and now we're all being hosed over right at the beginning of the year.
Yes, it comes out on the 4th of January, so...
I'm looking at you, okay.
What? Watch an anime with panties.
Right.
Wasn't there a movie that said that girls who wore black underwear were, like, desperate
for
sex?
Yeah. Just funny. Cause
so maybe this is a hentai. Maybe we just don't know it yet.
Look at the picture. She's basically...
You mean you don't know it yet?
She's
blind?
Actually, I am.
So the next anime I have is called Ladies vs. Butlers.
Yes.
And... it proves to be yet another original one coming out on the 5th of January, so you can have panties on the 4th and maids and butlers on the 5th and be exhausted by the 6th.
What?
When all the good anime actually starts coming out.
Japan's suicide rate's going to go up by 20% during this week.
Oh, God.
So,
bad taste making suicide jokes.
Aki Haruhino looks like a juvenile delinquent, but he enrolls into an academy that was once a school for upper-class ladies. Placed in the school's new servant training department, where students are raised to be maids or butlers, Akiharu finds himself stuck in the middle of its bittering cliques. I don't know what to say about it. There was an anime, I think, this season or last season, one of the recent seasons, about butlers, and that one was... to crap, so I don't really expect this one to be any better.
I suppose butlers will look like they're about 14, because...
That's the way they do it. And by 14, you mean they're, you know, going to make every girl think that they're a pedophile when they find out exactly what age they are.
Yes.
Yeah. Not to mention, it's a lady school, so you know this is, like, set up to be a harem.
Oh.
Like, seriously, in the picture... it's, like, a bunch of girls, and then, like, a chibi of the guy, and the girls are, like, holding him with their fingers.
Also, this is our third school anime in a row.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Do we have this season?
8, at least.
Jesus.
My next one is...
Give it to me, Scott.
What?
I'm waiting. I think I'm gonna, like, that subway commercial.
Weib Survive R is the next one, and it comes out on the 4th of December, so like 4 days ago. The story follows the main characters, Takeshi and Michi, as they get lost in the card battle world and have to win card battles to return home. A new character will debut in the project with design... I don't know. What is this? A new character is going to debut, apparently. I don't know what this is. The reason why I just wanted to talk about it...
He's having a seizure.
I think Mitsugi can't handle the hideousness of this season's anime.
He's falling off his...
He's having a seizure in the corner.
Picture of this... I need to talk about this because I need to get it out there. The picture of this is three girls... one of them's in a bathing suit, one of them's in, like, a little lingerie, like, teddy, and then the one in the middle is naked, and the two girls on either side are holding cards over the middle girl's boobs, and she has cards covering her crotch.
Wow, that sounds stupendous.
Apparently when you get lost into card battle world, you turn into a lesbian and you also lose your clothes.
That's exactly what I want to watch this season. Right there.
I'm gonna mention one more, because Mitsuki did, and I want to mention one more. It's called Heart Catch Precure. It comes out in February, and the story is, Love Momozono visits a show of famous dance units, Trinity, and becomes a dancer too. However, Labyrinth Kingdom subordinates wish to collect the audience's unhappiness. Love gets the power to change into Cure Peach, and she's joined by her good friends Cure Berry and Cure Pine to fight them. I'm not talking about this because I think it's going to be good, necessarily, but just because this anime is, like, really, really, really big over in Japan right now among little girls.
Okay.
And I'm just mentioning it because, one, it's so big, and two, because I almost kind of hope it's, like, the next Sailor Moon and gives kind of, like, a rebirth to, like, a younger generation, like, kind of becomes, like, what Sailor Moon was to us.
Oh, yeah. It kind of looks like it would be, too.
Yeah, no, it's magical girl, it's fantasy, it's kid-friendly, you know, you have the evil people that the magical girls fight, and it's innocent and happy, and perfectly acceptable for kids, and I hope it gets taken on by, like, some American, you know, the WB or whatever. And
anything but four kids.
Yes. So, I just wanted to mention that one. It's a sequel to the original. The original has already been out.
Did you do five?
She did four. She did four. My turn. So, the first one that I have, which I probably shouldn't just because it looks like it might have two more prior to it that I have not seen, but I'm going to do it anyway, is Haru Kanaru Toki no Naka de San, I guess three, like the third. Haha. Mm-hmm. And basically, the story, well, the picture looks kind of cool. It's one of the only ones that doesn't look moe and or chibi involved.
No way.
One of the few.
It almost looks like Fushigi Yugi-esque.
/ pre-tier. Some of the characters look a little bit like pre-tier characters. It's interesting. But anyway, the summary is thus. Akane Motomiya is pulled by a demon into another world, where she becomes priestess of the dragon god, protected by eight men known as the Hachiu. Okay. The people of this world tell her she is the only one who can stop the demons, who mean to claim her power from taking over. So
back to that whole Fushigi Yugi thing.
So it's a harem anime.
Pretty much. I also signed myself up for one that I don't know. I mean, the picture looks interesting. I really honestly can't tell you if it's going to be any good or not. But it's called Baka to Test to Shokanju. And it's about this kid named Akahisa who attends an academy where test results determine classes. In A class, prodigies can enjoy reclining seats and air conditioning. But Akahisa's F class sports decrepit tables, broken windows, and he rallies F class to take on higher classes and claim school supremacy by summoning fantasy creatures to battle.
Oh my
Wait, God. I need to ask something. The solution is not to study harder to get better grades,
but to battle fantasy creatures.
To summon fantasy creatures.
That's how I solve all my problems.
Kill the teachers.
Or the other students take their place, you know.
I'm sorry, but it wouldn't be very interesting if the anime was about studying.
At least it'd probably end up being decent instead of crap.
What's the best way that we can come up with an original children's battle anime? We've already done cards, we've already done capsules, we've already done this. Let's do...
And we've already done all those things naked.
Exactly. So how about we do, you know, fantasy creatures attacking people in school?
I want to know when they're going to make a hentai anime where you summon creatures to, like, have sex with your opponent. I summon the six-dick demon lord.
It probably exists.
Yeah, we just haven't stumbled across it yet.
And that's the voice
actor.
Demon Lord, use split in half cock drill. Go!
Was this girl logging?
How the fuck do I choose you?
Cock monster, it's pardon.
I ride on commie does.
So that's what metaphoring is for.
Anyway, moving on. So, what's the next hentai episode? Anyway.
Not for a while, we just did one.
Exactly. So let's save it till then. My final one that I have chosen, don't know why, again, is there's just so many great ones to choose from.
We've covered practically all of them now.
It's Omamori Himari, and it is about an ordinary 16-year-old high school boy named Yuto Amagawa.
We're just so giggly tonight.
who is protected by Himari, a beautiful sword-wielding cat girl spirit.
I'm definitely picking this one. It has a cat girl.
Wait, there's more. But wait, there's more.
Where is
you
she?
Call now. We'll also throw in.
It might be that. I don't know. But he is descended from a family known for subjugating demons. With his protective charm now impotent, Himari appears before him as his new guardian. So, I can't tell from the picture. From the picture, it kind of looks like a
harem anime.
I'm sorry. If you want cat girls, just go play. Just go buy Let's Meow Meow and get it over with.
So this one looks as stupendous as the rest. Please don't do that.
We should say that there's no hope for anime.
Not this season.
Mom, I don't know what we did, but we're being punished.
God, why have you forsaken us?
The god of anime is shunning. He's shunning, smiting, oh mighty smiter.
Oh my god.
So that's our anime for the winter season.
Okay, you
I'm
guys.
So sorry.
So a very giggly podcast this is. So we've covered not all the animes, but you got the idea. The other ones you have to look up on your own. In just a couple seconds, we're going to take an anime news break and come back and do our reviews for the podcast on Code Geass, Mahou Ramadex OVA, and whatever else. But before we wrap it up for the moment, does anybody have any final comments about the anime season?
I am so sorry.
I'm excited.
You got like the only two good ones. No, the one we don't know about that one.
We don't know
one,
about Nodame, but
do you want to know what I have to say about the new anime season?
What do you have to say, Chiaki?
This is the giant.
That's all you have to say.
Chiaki.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
So, all right. So we're gonna take a break, and we'll see you guys in just a few minutes.
Mitsugi, this is Chiaki here, live from Japan as always, hooking you up with the latest in anime news. Well, no one wants to be the new CEO of SPJA, or the Society for the Promotion of Japanese Animation, this week, CEO Michael Lantanzio. Since his instatement, a number of top-level why you should all care, SPJA is the overseer for Anime Expo, one of the largest cons in the country. An inside source said that over 80% of the AX, Anime Expo, staff are ready to resign with the support of their division heads. Ah, Adult Swim, something that is near and dear to all of our hearts, as I'm sure that Adult Swim / Cartoon Network was probably one of the first experiences that any of us had with anime. Adult Swim, however, has informed that they've lost the rights to Death Note and Blood Plus, so those will no longer be running on the network channel. However, they added that they're just cleaning house for goodies from our last Tokyo visit. We can't tell you anything yet, but we think we bought 3 series. So who knows what new series they went out to Tokyo and bought? Chiaki's guess? Gurren Lagann. But we'll see. Funimation has recently announced that it had got the licensing agreements for 52 episodes of the Hetalia Axis Powers, which is a historical comedy, and The Sacred Blacksmith, which is a relatively recent anime, which I will be reviewing in an upcoming episode. Hetalia will ship to two parts starting late 2010, and The Sacred Blacksmith will sit, ship, and DVD set in fall of 2010. So they're both good anime, so if you are a fan of dubbing and have not seen them, slash you want to buy legal anime and not download, this is an excellent option for anyone. Ah, Japan. You gotta love a country that has something called the Otaku Awards. Japan holds the awards once every year. This year was the 9th annual Otaku Awards. They were presented at Tokyo's Loft / Plus One Hall on January 9th. It's an informal event run by otaku, quote-unquote, for the otaku. And it's just to celebrate anime, the people involved, and everything like that. A panel of judges led by novelist manga creator Hosai Tsuruoka nominated several entries, and the ones that won were Love Plus, 1/1 Gundam, and Shaft. So congratulations to the winners of the 9th Annual Japan Otaku Awards. Well, that's all I have for you guys right now. Back to the podcast.
So, welcome back to the 21st episode of Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. We have two guys.
Oh my god, we can drink now.
Yay!
Lame.
And we can go to Vegas and actually enjoy ourselves.
Okay, so...
Right, whatever.
So, I hope you guys have discovered a couple of animes from the upcoming season that you might want to watch. Whether we want to watch them or not, we're going to suffer through them for you so we can talk about them. Anyway, so now we've entered into the review section of the podcast.
And I will be doing Code Geass Part 1 because I haven't seen the second part. I'm sorry, you guys, I've just been swamped. So basically, for those of you who haven't heard of Code Geass, Lelouch of the Rebellion is the full name. The summary that I have found is basically, the Empire of Britannia has invaded Japan using giant robot weapons called Nightmare Frames. Japan is now referred to as Area 11, and its people, the Elevens. A Britannian who was living in Japan at the time, Lelouch, vowed to his Japanese friend Suzaku that he'd destroy Britannia. Years later, Lelouch is in high school, but regularly skips out of school to go play chess and gamble on himself. Why is that important?
Because he always wins.
He does always win.
They're just trying to show you how smart he is.
Very true. One day, he stumbles on terrorist Elevens who've stolen a military secret and is caught by a member of the Britannian task force sent after them, who is Suzaku. As the rest of the squad arrives, Suzaku is shot for disobeying orders, while the military secret, a young girl, gives Lelouch the power of Geass, which makes anyone obey any order. While Suzaku is secretly made the pilot of Britannia's brand new prototype nightmare, Lancelot, Lelouch becomes the Masked Zero to lead the rebellion to destroy Britannia once and for all. That's actually a pretty good summary of that.
That's a good summary, and I want to mention that in order to make people do whatever you want, you have to look at his gay-ass eyeball. And you can only use the power on a person once.
Yes. It'll last forever.
Right.
But if you were to make them do something, you know, completely irrelevant or mediocre and then wanted to do something or have them do something later, it wouldn't work. But it's actually, I really enjoyed the first season.
That's because it has a great story and it's not moe.
Oh, it is incredible of a story. Very, very, very well dubbed. Because I'm a dubbed watcher, that's what I do.
Yep.
But
Yuri Lowenthal.
Yuri Lowenthal is Suzaku. Yes, yeah. Yuri Lowenthal is Suzaku. Johnny Young Bosch, who did Ichigo, Kiba. Oh my God, he's an incredible voice actor. He did Lelouch, Kiba from Wolf's Rain.
I was like,
not Kiba from Naruto. Kiba from Wolf's Rain.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah. That was his first like major.
I guess that makes
voice
sense.
Acting role. But anyway, incredible storyline. Like, this is the sort of storyline where if you miss an episode, you are completely lost. You have to watch it with full attention, and, you know, you're just, not like it's hard, though. You're drawn in instantly with this anime.
The anime does have some filler episodes, though.
I wasn't immediately drawn in. It took me, like, a good year or two to get into Code Geass.
I really enjoyed the anime. The first season, I think, is a little, not quite as...
powerful.
Well...
maybe?
It's not that. It's, I kind of don't like the transition that it takes between the seasons.
Oh, yeah, no, it's almost like, I've heard from people that when you go from the first season to the second season, you feel like you've missed something. Because it's just kind of like, here we are in the second season, and it's like, okay.
Well, my problem is that, like, the first season has Lelouch, and he's planning out all these really cool military operations with these cool military tactics that are really intelligent. You don't see them coming. And things
he's brilliant,
and things
by
are
the way.
Fought out, you know. And he's skillfully using his power on people. But I feel like in the second season they stop doing that, and it just becomes like he starts having like ridiculous things happen in battle, and they don't and they kind of stop plotting things out for you. Like they stop showing you how things are occurring, you know, like the behind the scenes setup of things. Like, I remember there's one scene towards the end where, like, literally there's, like, practically, like, an earthquake, and the ground, like, swallows up, like, 1,000 Nightmare Frames. And it's like, well, how did he pull that one off, you know? And you don't know if it's just dumb luck or if he had it all set up from the beginning. And I can't remember if it's really an earthquake or whatever, but I remember either, like, a building collapsing or something. Either way, it wipes out, like, a ton of the enemies. But they don't
basically,
show you.
Basically, they want you to think that he's infallible at that point.
It's like, yeah, it's like they don't even bother, like, setting it up. They don't even bother setting it up. They just kind of do it and expect you to accept it. And I'm sorry, but Suzaku is the most annoying character ever in this anime. Like, you get these. It's pointless to have these cool.
Kotake cries in the corner.
It's pointless to have these cool military setups when Suzaku comes in every third episode and ruins everything. Like, it'd be cool if he did it, like, once. But he does it, like, 9 times, literally.
That's his job.
It just makes the anime seem,
things,
don't get me wrong, this anime is great. Like, it's an anime that makes you believe in anime again in the midst of all the crap.
Very much so.
But that is my main complaint, is how cyclical it is. You know, there's a really cool military operation happening. They've almost succeeded. Suzaku comes in and ruins everything, and that's and rinse and repeat.
And it's one of those anime where it's a nice balance between character and plot, you know? They're very thought out. They make sure that they do all of their research, and, you know, they make the scenarios themselves really powerful. But the characters also have, you know, certain aspects about them where you just, you know, you either fall in love with the characters, hate the characters, get intrigued by the characters, they're involved. As opposed to, you know, like, some anime is all about the characters. The plot makes absolutely no point, but you just love the characters, so you watch it anyway. You know, so it's a really nice mix.
Yeah, and just want to mention the director real quick. Goro Taniguchi has done a lot of stuff, and he likes to do a lot of the mecha animes. He's done Infinite Revias, which is an anime I'm watching right now for the podcast. He's done Planetes, which is a fantastic anime that takes place in outer space.
Salty Ray?
He's done the storyboards for a lot of Mobile Suit.
His involvement in Salty Ray.
He has involvement.
And he did storyboards for Yu-Gi-Oh! That's kind of funny.
He's done, he directed Scryde. He directed Gun X Sword.
Storyboards for Honey and Clover.
So this guy's been around the block, so he's not exactly a newbie to the anime directing. But it shows, I guess.
Indeed. I'd say it deserves maybe 4 out of 5 mind wipes.
Mind wipes. I think I liked it a little bit more than that, but that's your review.
Well, I've only seen the first half, remember?
Well, the first half's better than the second half.
Really?
Yeah. I was just bitching about the second half for like 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, but still.
It's got a great ending.
It does?
Yeah, it doesn't let you down. There's not a whole lot of bad things to say. It has some filler episodes in it. And it has,
It doesn't have many filler episodes, at least not the first
like
season.
There's 5 of them. There's one where they spend, like, a whole series of episodes at, like, a carnival at their school. So, I watched an anime recently that was very short, and I watched it because it was a throwback to something I watched when I was a lot younger. I watched an anime when I was younger called Mahoromatic Automatic Maiden, which is an anime that I didn't hate at the time because I wasn't jaded then. But it's basically a harem anime where a maid, a combat robot who basically whoops serious ass and can destroy pretty much anybody, has performed her service so admirably that essentially they decide that she can live her last 1 year of her basically battery life, I guess, on Earth doing whatever she wants. And so she chooses to live her life as a maid for a guy. Just some random dude.
That's what I'd choose.
And essentially,
yeah, because if I only had 1 year, spending it in servitude would be great.
Oh, yeah.
Essentially, the anime is a harem anime, but it has some good undertones. Like, at the end of every episode, they show you how many days left she has. And the more of her fighting combat ability she uses, the faster it drains her battery. And so you have like this impending doom throughout the whole series, which is kind of nice because it adds something a little bit more. But I'm not gonna pretend like this anime is wonderful because it's not. But recently an OVA came out, a TV special called Mahoromatic Tadaima Okaeri, and it's pretty much brand new, so I thought I'd watch it. And it's basically what I just said. It's Suguru Misato, who's the boy. He lives with two maids, Minawa and Mahoro. Mahoro is the main character. And they're, as I said, they're combat robots. And what happens in the special is that the first episode is about the girls are gonna have a maid cafe at their school, so they want Mahoro to show them how to be a maid and to help make their clothes. And so you have like cute, fluffy, frivolous content for about the first half of it. And then randomly, one of the bad guys from the old series, I can't remember his name because it's been years, comes in and decides he wants to try to attack them. It's attack Mahoro and Minawa. And so he sends his combat androids after them. And they try to abduct Minawa. And basically Mahoro comes in and saves the day. And it's not wonderful. It's the kind of anime where like the school teacher wants to basically bang Suguru, and she has like double G size boobs, and she'll smash his head between them, and
that sounds
it's a harem goof anime. Anyway, it has its positive points. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. The actual anime is not that bad. I mean, it's not great, but that's about the gist of it. It was only two episodes long. It just came out. The first episode came out on the 17th of October, so it's pretty much brand new. And I'll probably give it 2.5 combat androids out of 5, just because it's not great, but
it's still worth something.
It's just a follow-up special. I mean, The first Mahoromatic came out, God, how long ago was it? It came out in 2001. So after 2001, they've taken an 8-year break, and all of a sudden they're coming out with two TV special episodes, which is kind of random. I don't even know how they got the funding for that. But here it is. And so what can you expect? I mean, you can't really expect them to make a revival of an anime after 8 years.
Yeah, not so much.
Unless you're Hajime no Ippo, which case you can pull that off over and over. Anyway, so I hope you guys enjoyed our hentai episode from last week. We Roko and I found a survey from online that was given to 500 Japanese men and women about what their favorite fetishes were.
Oh God!
And so we did a top.
Sorry, I missed that.
And so we did a top 20 countdown of the top fetishes, and the number one fetish. What do you guys think the number one fetish was?
Mates,
boobs.
Maid's outfits, no?
The number one fetish was feet. The area of skin in between the skirt and the knee-high stockings.
So, like, upper thigh?
Like the area right in the middle of your thigh where...
I can see that, because, like, the girls here are crazy. They're, like, it's, like, 37 degrees out, and they're out in a short skirt and just knee-high and thigh-high stockings.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway, but there are some really, really funny, bizarre, really bizarre things on that list. Things that you won't believe. So go back and check out episode 20.5. Come check it out. It's short. It's inappropriate. So if you're offended easily, you want to skip it. But it's delicious because it's offensive. And in closing, I'll say one more time that you can find us at aaapodcast.com. We have a great forum on there now. The new trivia episode, the new trivia question is up. You know, it's a brand new month, so everybody has an equal opportunity to win. And we're also on iTunes, which is a great place to find us because you can subscribe and be frequently updated with our new episodes every week. And we're also on Facebook, where we give frequent updates, and we're also on Mevio.com. So come check us out. And the closing song for you today is Aruga Mama from Nabari no O by the artists Anamu and Maki.
Beautiful song. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And so we'll see you guys later.
Until next time.
Ciao. Bye, guys.
sari amanjite ta kono te wo nobaso涙流してる。